the recorder and then I'll say it. Bring up notes to show different errors. I basically decided that clicking around on my 25,000 examples wasn't going to effectively show the errors. So I've got this Word document out there that probably isn't effective either, but at least I think it makes a little more sense. So what I said here was basically these are some different ways that I handled errors in some of the examples, okay? So this one just has the or die. Okay, so I'm saying this is the SQL I want to execute. It will either execute it or die. Result is going to be either a 1 or a 0. A 1 means it was successful, and a 0 means it wasn't successful. Okay, so when I had a duplicate, it came up with its standard response, which was duplicate entry for da-da-da-da, and it gave me the error, okay? The or die gave me the error. If it connected successfully, I just got echo results, so I just got a 1, okay? And that told me that it connected successfully. So when I get the 1 back, I know it worked. If I get a 0 back, I know it wasn't able to do it. Okay? Then down on another one, I put in an if statement. Instead of just leaving the MySQL query in the or die, okay, I put in a if statement in front of the, instead of doing result. Okay, notice result, I had it up here, down here, I took the same thing and I put it in an if statement. And I said, echo out, record added, else record out must have been a duplicate. Okay, so it worked, and I got must have been a duplicate when I tried to put in a record that didn't match, and I got connected successfully, record added, when I tried to put in a record that added. So in other words, the difference here is, here I took their default handling of the error. Here I said, if that didn't work, I want to say, if it did work, sorry, I want to say record added, otherwise I want to say must have been a duplicate. Okay, so if I want to give more information, then I can do a test like this, and then I can put out more information. Okay, and then another way of doing the test, which is the result way. I said, if the result equals 1. Because again, if the result comes back as a 1, I know it happened. Otherwise, I said, would have been a duplicate. Okay, and I tried it with both, and I got the record added, and I got the would have been a duplicate. Okay. And then I came down here and I said, again, if my SQLi query link SQL, when there was, and I said echo, and I put some other things out, and then I had an if, so I've got far more going on here. Okay, and if you look at the results down below, when there was no match to delete, I got the action 0, no record was added. Okay? If there was a match to delete, I got the action 1, record deleted. And if there was the wrong table name, I got problem. Okay? So I got the problem down here. So if this was just totally unsuccessful, I got a problem. So when I put in the wrong table name here, I got the fact that it was a problem, and it told me that that record doesn't exist. I used the standard error problem, and then I let them put out the standard error, which told me that it doesn't exist. Okay? If the number of affected rows was 0, then no record was deleted. And I put out that because if the affected rows was zero, that meant it didn't affect anything, so no record was deleted. Okay? And if it was successful, I got the action record deleted. Okay? So depending on what you want to see when you do the errors, and I think this one is actually pretty much the same one. Only on this one, I also put out some data. So I said here, and then I put out echo and put out some data. Okay. One record was updated, and I told it that I had some data. So essentially, what I'm trying to point out is these are a variety of ways that you can choose to handle errors. And if you want to just handle it and let the computer put out whatever message it comes up with, that's fine too. But if you want more specifics, you can pick one of these approaches. And those approaches, I said each one where it was located in which problem. And so you can go back and basically pick which one you want and incorporate it. But I don't think there's ever a time. Oh, good. Now, why is it opening SmartBoard? And notice the SmartBoard is not showing down here anymore. Okay. I love this machine. Nothing is on there. Okay, tools, floating tools. And now if I bring this up and I take a picture of it, it says it's saving it. Now I've got two of them there. Would somebody like to come up and take this over, please? Okay, there's one. And what's the other one got? That's got nothing. So I'll make that one go away. And I'll keep this one. Sorry. It doesn't like me, clearly. Okay, so people are just going to have to look at the results. Okay. I think it now... Yep, I got three things on there, so I think from now on it's going to sort of work. Okay, so now we're going to go in. So essentially, back to before I was set off down another track. So essentially what we had there was a variety of ways to handle errors. And it really doesn't matter which way you choose. I just tried a variety of different ways. And you can go in and pick one of them, or you can invent your own, or whatever, but it's just, you need to at least somehow convey the message that things didn't work. Or you leave the people under the illusion that something they did actually happened, and that's not a good idea. Okay, going back into third connect group, what I want to look at now is the ones that had an HTML associated with it. So I am saying somewhere in here. Okay. Does anybody see the bunch of HTMLs? There's a delete HTML.
Delete donut okay HTML. Insert donut okay HTML.
Where is under insert donut okay? That's the one that I'm not seeing. H-I, there we go. Thank you. I can't do the alphabet. I was looking after L. Okay.
Which one are you on? Insert?
Yes.
Insert?
The HTML version. I think I opened it, right? Yes. Okay, so what I've got there is a form, and I am taking in the data that I want for an insert. Okay. Okay, now, the assignment that I've given you, I did these in three separate programs. On the assignment I'm giving you, I'm saying have the person also send over an A, C, or D, saying whether they want to add, change, or delete. Okay, so, or you can use I, D, and U, whatever, but the common things to use are A, C, and D for add, change, and delete. Okay, so here I have my program, and this is located at cisweb.bristolcc.edu. I type 15. Amazing. Okay, so here I have the information, and it is just going to be sent over, okay? So I am going to call insertdonorok.php, and I'm sending it over. We will be looking at how I can do this all on one form, but we haven't got there yet. So I think that's an ID I haven't used. I don't remember where the date first contributed is the year, right? I think that's what it is. Year goal, 1,000, contact, Amy Costa. Okay, so I've got all of this information in there. And then I click, and it goes over, and the person got added. Okay, and you can see them up at the top. Okay, the little one after successful is me putting out something about the result to say that it worked. So that's the little one there, and you don't have to do any of that. All of these connect successfully and show me the one and everything are just reassurance that it actually worked. And obviously, after it is working and I put something into production, I probably should give up on the I need reassurance in this kind of way and get rid of it. Okay, so now if I look at insert donor okay, here's the PHP. Okay, so I brought it over. And I brought it in, and then I did the insert, and that's what I want to look at. Okay? I took, and after I brought all the data in, I just said insert the values that are in ID number, that are in name, that are in street address, and I just went across and said insert whatever values came over. Okay, so I'm inserting the values. And then at the bottom, I do a loop where I go through and show the information. Okay, the beginning part is I am just telling them again, okay, this is the record I inserted. So I'm giving a go in and select from donor where the ID equals the ID number. So I'm kind of reassuring myself again. I'm getting carried away on reassurance here. But I'm reassuring myself again that the record came in, so I did a select, got the record, and displayed it. Okay? And then I selected asterisks from donor, and I went through and displayed everything. Okay, so this first one right here is my reassurance that it worked. And then starting with the second John Doe, that's the, all of the records that are out there at this point. Okay? So this first one is the result of my saying, go select the one you just added and show it to me. So this is the just added one. And this is the whole table. Okay. And these come up in a bizarrely random order. If you actually care about it, you should order them in the select statement if you care about the order that they come up in. So sometimes the first one is not going to be the first one when I show the whole record. And as I care, as I said, if you care, then you put an order by ID number clause on there, and then it will order them by the ID number.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Okay. So the records are all out of order in here. Okay? If I care, this select down here should have an order by clause on it. Okay? If I put the order by clause on here, if I care, well, it let me write once. Okay. If I put the order by clause on there, then I will be able to see them in order if I care. And in fact, I can pick to order them by name if that's what I'd rather do. But I can put an order by on there, and I can order them by ID, I can order them by name, I can order them by anything that I want to. Okay. So I can stick my order by clause in there. Okay, the next one has a delete. So if we bring that up, that is delete donor okay.
Is it the HTML?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to say here delete DonorOK.html. Now, with the delete, all I took in was the identification number. I don't know quite why I'm taking a picture of that. Okay, so that's what I wanted to actually take the picture of. So I'm going to put the ID number in, and I just put in 11199, so I'm going to delete that one. Okay, so I've now put that in, and if I click on it, it now, hopefully, does not have the 11199. Okay. So that is how I delete. Now, in the real world, lots of times you have people put in both an ID and a name when they want to delete so that you're able to confirm that it's the right record. And so you basically have them put in the ID and the name. You go and retrieve the ID, the record by ID, and then you double check that the name is the right name. And if it is, you delete it. Or you could put the ID in, go in and retrieve the record, show it to them, and say, is this the record you want to delete? And if they say yes, then you go ahead and delete it. But deleting is big stuff. And so very frequently, when a company asks you to do deleting, they will ask for some kind of confirmation, such as bringing up the record. Now, bringing up the record, I don't know about you, but I'm sloppy in that sometimes and hit the yes without really checking to make sure that I should have been hitting the yes. So that's the problem with the asking the user for confirmation, is if I really don't care that much, especially, I'll just hit the yes kind of without, or hit the yes and on the way out say, whoops, that was a no. So sometimes having the name also typed in so that when you go and delete it, you check to make sure that the name, you do a retrieve on ID and name, and you check to make sure the name is what they passed in. And then if you want to be totally paranoid, you can do all three and ask for the name and then say, is this the record you want to delete? So you can also be totally paranoid about it. Okay, so the record to do the delete is donor okay, and there is the record. So I just said delete from donor where ID number equals ID number. And then I went back and selected everything and showed the file so that I would be sure that it was gone. And in fact, this may not have been a good test because I just noticed up there that I have donor 2, and that's why I only had a few records. So I think I added it to donor 1 and just deleted it from donor 2, but only it didn't exist, so I suspect. Okay, the update is down further, and here is the update. Now, what I did is I'm only going to be able to update contact, okay? And there is no reason for that except pure laziness. Okay. CIS web, come on. Okay. So I'm now saying I want to update somebody, and I put in some kind of an ID here, and I want to change it to Susan Smith. And I have no idea whether there is a record out there for 12121 or not. Okay. So I am going to click on this. And what I did here is I did the before and after. And yes, it worked. Isn't that nice? You can see that 12121 used to have Zara Hershey. And now 12121 has Susan Smith, which is what I just updated. So I made the change. Now what I did on this one is I did the before and after. Okay, so if I go and look over at the code, the update, there we go, PHP. All I am doing is updating the contact. My update says update donor set contact equal to the contact that I brought in, where the ID number is equal to the ID number I brought in. Okay, so I am only bringing in and updating contact. Okay, obviously you want to be able to update more than one field. What I said I wanted you to do in the assignment is you're going to create a table with 5 fields in it, or if you already have one, that's fine. You can alter it or whatever you want to do. Then when you enter the data, I want you to enter data if you want to change something. Okay, so you've got 5 fields. One of them is an ID number. One of them is the ID number. And that cannot change. Okay. Almost everybody that has a database has a rule that you can't go in and change somebody's ID number. Okay, if you want to change an ID number, you have to delete a record and add a record. But you can't just randomly change an ID number
Think about the joyful consequences if all of a sudden you can go in and change an ID number. And there are loads of other tables that link to that ID number. It's a key to the whole operation. And I just decide, I don't like that one. I'm going to change it. It doesn't work too well. So that cannot change. Then I want to have four other fields. And let's say you want to change the city. So, and this is the city field. You can enter Braintree. I want to change my city to Braintree. If that's the only thing I want to change, I'm going to leave the other three things blank. Okay, so in other words, if I don't want to change something, I'm going to leave it blank. If I want to change state as well, then I am going to, I can do that. So I can have information in the fields that I want to change. If I leave them blank, it means that I don't want to impact them. Okay? So what I'm saying is that just change these two fields. Just change the fields with data. Okay? So just change the fields with data. That means if there is a record out there that has a blank city, if I put city in, the blank will change to Braintree. If there's a record out there that has Fall River for a particular ID, obviously this is for a particular ID, if it has Fall River and I want it to be Braintree, then the update should change it to Braintree. If it's blank, then don't change it. Leave it at Fall River. Leave it with what was there in the first place. So what that means is I've got to put in some if statements where I check for blank. I've got to read the record, take in the information that I key in the update, and then I have to check. If the field is blank, then I don't do anything. If the field contains data, then I take the city that came in and replace it on the city on the file. Okay, I take the city that came in on the input and put it in the file in the city spot. So I've changed it. Now, what I didn't do here, and if you want to do this, I'll give you extra credit if you want to include it in, is what about if I have something in there and I want to delete it and I don't have anything to replace it with? Usually there is some kind of a code. And so if, for example, I put a hyphen in the first character, that means delete field. And as I said, I didn't put that in, but if you want to do it, extra credit. If you want to add that in. So that means if you put a hyphen in the first character, that means I've got some data out there, a piece of data on the file. I want to delete it, but I don't have anything to replace it with. Okay? Maybe you have major as one of your fields, and the person wants to get rid of the major they're taking and they don't want to have a major, okay? So they would put, you would put on the major field a hyphen as the input data, and that means go to the file and delete it.
That's in the insert statement?
Yeah. So what you would have, let's go and look at one of these. Okay, so let's say I have a record out here that is 111, that's the ID number, and then I have a major, yeah, right. I have a major, and so I've got CI, and I've got a city, and it is Fall River. And I've got a state,
that it is mass, and I've got an amount that is 1,000. Okay, so this is the record on the file, on the table. That's what I've got on the record on the table. Now, I want to do an update. So I enter 111, I enter a hyphen, I enter Braintree. Actually, I don't need a state, so I'll leave that blank. So I've got and let's say that's what I've got. Okay, so when I take this in and do an update, this should be turned into blank blank, because I had a hyphen there, and this should be turned into Braintree. And the two fields that have nothing should be left alone. So the result of this should be 111, blank blank, Braintree, and mass in 1,000. So it just leaves it alone.
It's not in quotes, right? Hyphen is not in quotes.
No, just put a hyphen there as data. The same as Braintree. And it doesn't have to be a hyphen. It can be anything you pick. It could be DEL or DE. And if it's equal to DE, then put nothing there. You can pick anything you want. As a code. What you need to do is have a code in there that is not going to normally appear. And a hyphen is one that doesn't normally appear in a character field as the first character. So if you put a hyphen in there, then that would work lots of times. But as I said, you could put an O, meaning I don't want it. And so if it's equal to NO, then I set the major equal to blank blank. I set the major field equal to spaces. Okay. Because adding is fine, because let's say there wasn't any amount here. If there wasn't any amount, okay, I want to take a picture of that. I keep hesitating, but I want to take a picture before I mess it up. Okay, so now if I go in and change this and say, okay, this didn't exist, nothing's there, and then I put 500 down here, then when I go in, the nothing gets replaced with 500, which basically is saying that I am inserting something, because if there was nothing there and I put something there, I'm doing an insert. So an insert and an update are really the same when you start doing moving data to fields. You know, an update changes what was there, and so does an insert. It just inserts something where there was nothing. So it's the delete that you have to worry about. Okay. Questions? Okay, so what I want you to do on the assignment is you are going to take in, and what I said was, take in the five fields plus one additional that says A, C, or D. Because you want to pass to the PHP whether you're doing an add, change, or delete. If you're doing an add, you need to fill them all in, or at least all of the ones that you want to have data. If you're doing a change, you want to fill it in the way I filled it in. If you're doing a delete, you only have to fill in the ID. But you're still passing everything over to it. And then depending on the if statement that says, if this is an add, then you're going to take everything, move it to a record, and do an insert. If it says, is it a delete, you're going to find the record, do a delete statement, it finds the record and deletes it. If it's an update, you're going to make the changes and do an update.
Okay. That's the one that's a little tricky. I want you to try it. If you have questions, you can ask. But I want you to kind of play around with it. The update is a little more tricky. If I were writing this program, I would get it so the insert works. Then I would get it so the delete works. And then I would go back and get it so the update works. And I would do them one at a time and get them so that they're working. And the insert and the delete are the easy ones, and the update takes a little more thought. Okay, so I would get those working and then get it work. So the code is going to come over. You're going to have an if statement that says if it's an A, and then we'll have code that you'll do if it's an A. Else, if it's a B, except C. Yeah, C or a D. And you really don't need to have the else. You can have it any way you want to style it. Questions? Okay. So now what we have looked at is we have a database out there. And I'm trying to think if there's anything I left out that I haven't mentioned. There's a whole bunch of ways to list things. There's a lot of different examples out there, but they're reasonably repetitious, but feel free to look at the ones that I didn't go over. I didn't put them all out there. I've got a few here that I was kind of experimenting with, and I didn't put them out for you. I just kept them for me. Questions? Okay. The next thing we're going to do is start looking at arrays. And the beginning part of arrays is exactly the same as it was last semester, so it is got a 2014 on it. I didn't change anything in the beginning part of arrays. So it's array group first, and I believe you have that. Yeah, array group first, PHP zipped. Okay, so that's what we're going to look at. Okay, for you who have had arrays in any other class, this is going to be a wake me when it's over session. Because we've looked at arrays in JavaScript, we've looked at arrays in Visual Basic, we've looked at arrays in a bunch of places, so a lot of this is fairly repetitious. But it is how to put it into PHP. So, my first array is the one that is called MWGB0. And I want to be in 14. And I want to be in, let's see, array group first, PHP / MWGB0.php. Yes. Okay. So, I have set up an array here. And I have simply said department name modified by 0 is going to be equal to women's. Department name modified by 1 is men's. Department name modified by 2 is girls. And department name modified by 3 is boys. So it's a very, very straightforward setup. Okay? And then I said for count equals 0. While count is less than or equal to 3, I want to echo out department, count, and department name modified by count. And remember that $count++ is the increment. So I am adding. So I have this, I have inside the for loop, inside the for loop, I have the starting point, the testing point, and the increment point. So I'm saying start with count equal to 0, go in while count is less than or equal to 3, and every time you go through, add 1 to count. And those are the 3 things, if you remember, that you need to have with a loop. You need to have the start, you need to have the check, and you need to have the change. Okay, and these are all acting on a control. And in my case, the control is count. So I'm saying start count out at 0, check count to make sure it is still less than or equal to 3, and every time you go through the loop, change count by 1. Add 1 to it. And so I'm saying echo, and the echo does not need parentheses around it. I sometimes put it in and sometimes don't, but the echo does not need parentheses around it. So I say echo department number. And again, as you know, the interesting thing about PHP is even though this is all inside quotes, it understands that $count is a variable that it should be displaying in. And it understands that department name modify count is a variable that it should be displaying. And so it works just fine. In a lot of other languages, you'd never get away with that. You'd have to have the literals concatenated with the variables. But here I get away with it. So it's a lovely thing. Questions? So this is an array. And an array basically means that I have a name that, as you can see there, occurs 4 times. And so if I said move department name, it would say which one. And so I very nicely tell it which one by putting this number here. And this number can be called an index, a subscript, or a pointer. Okay, the more technical term is index. The more user-friendly one is pointer, and subscript falls somewhere in between. Okay, so what I'm doing there is saying if I move department name, that would occur 4 times. I need to know which department name you're talking about. And this is a wonderful thing for a lot of different applications. I have told one of the first programs I had to write, I had to convert a month that came in as a number into a day. And I tediously put all the if statements in. And when my boss looked at it, he said, have you ever heard of an array? And I said, okay. Tell me what an array is. Because when I started programming,
I was sent to school for about a week and a half. And when I came back, they told me to start earning my living. And so, as I said, there were three of us that were sent to programming school for about a week and a half. And we all pulled our chairs up next to our boss, and our boss got nothing done for the next year as he taught us how to program. Luckily, he was a good programmer, and he taught us a lot of good things. But it was about a week and a half. I can't remember whether it was actually that long or whether it was just a week.
So much has changed.
But I mean, I graduated from college with a degree in economics. I decided based on a summer job that I wanted to be a programmer. But that was a summer job between my junior and senior year, so I graduated in economics. And got hired as a programmer. Back then, there wasn't a lot of training going on, so they just hired us. And
that's one of the fastest growing fields.
Yep. You had to take a logic test to prove that you could think logically, and that was it, and then they hired you. So anyway, I learned to program sitting beside my boss's desk, not at the week and a half class. Okay, moving on. Okay, so the next one. Is using the for each statement. And the for each statement is a wonderful thing. And this one is called ARFUNC. ARFUNC for each. Yes. Okay. So, this is a different way of setting up an array. In the last one, I set it up in kind of the traditional way. This is a easier to code way. So I tell it it's an array, and I put the four things in brackets. It therefore knows that the first thing is going to have an index of zero. Okay, by definition, if I set it up this way, I'm going to have an index of zero. The other one, I have more flexibility. I can start with one or two, I can start with other things. But here, by definition, this is going to have, I clicked on my magic thing, didn't I? So women's is zero, men's is one, girls is two, and boys is three. So just by order, it knows what the index are. And as I said in the comment down here, the first entry in the array has an index of zero. So the first one is going to be zero, and then it goes up progressively. Okay, so if you want to start with one, then you can put the word invalid in as the first thing and then start with one. So if I didn't want a department zero, which I usually wouldn't, I could have put invalid and then 1, 2, 3, 4 would have been women's, men's, girls, boys. But the first thing would be invalid. Okay. Then I said for each. And then this is the name of the array, department name as the name. So department name is the name of the array, and the name is the name of the current entry. Okay, and for each is an interesting statement. In some languages, the order of those is reversed and the name is at the end, so you kind of have to play with them. But what for each always tells you is the name of the array and the name that you can refer to when you want to see the current one, the current element. So the name is going to first be women's, then be men's, then be girls, then be boys. The name, as it goes through the loop, is going to vary. Okay, so the name is the name of the individual element, whereas department name is the name of the array. So inside the for each, I said echo department equals the name, and you can see that it comes out. And then down below, just to show you, I said echo department name 0, and it brought out women, so I can do either one. Now, the nice thing about a for each is you don't have to know how many elements are in the array. If I write a for, remember I had to have something in there that said count less than or equal to 3. With a for each, it will go through every element in the array. And I don't have to know how many elements are in the array. It will go through all of the elements. So for each, array name as, and then the name of the current element that it's looking at. Questions? Okay. I probably should be doing these in another order, but I don't think it matters that much, so we're just doing them in alphabetical order. The next one down, for each list, I believe it is. Only I can't spell list. Okay, so all I did here is I put it in a list. So I have print UL. Whenever I want to use a tag in HTML, I can use an echo or a print, and I just put it in quotes. So it makes the UL, and then for each department I did the LIs, and then I stopped. And I used print and echo interchangeably here. They could have all been print, they could have all been echo. Now it's interesting, if I look at the view source on this, okay, you can see that it brings down the UL to the browser. It sends the UL down to the browser. So sometimes it's nice to look at the source that gets generated, and you can see, if you click on the source, that it sent down the UL, the LI, and department. Okay, equals invalid. And that's because I wanted women's to be 1 and no department to be 0, so I put the invalid in there, as I mentioned before. But if you look at the view source, it tells you what is sent down to the browser. Because remember, the PHP is being run at the server level, and it is pulling together, based on what you said, the information to send down to the browser. And then what it sends down to the browser is what the browser can read and understand, which is HTML. So it sent down the HTML, and the HTML is controlling how the page looks at the browser level. Okay. Questions? Someday you'll learn to ask questions. Okay, this one, what do I know that I need on this one? Just looking at it. This is the next one, which is, yeah. What can I tell just looking at this that I need?
You don't have a 4-H.
No, but I'm only apparently bringing out one thing. But what does that get tell me?
You don't have to be clear.
Right, and what does a get tell me? That I'm probably getting it from another source? So if I go in here and look for an HTML, and there is the send, and I'm betting that that send says to go, well, maybe I had another send. Yeah. This send. This send is saying, okay, I've got a form, I'm taking in a department number, I'm submitting it to the MWGB array function using the method get.
Oh, I see.
So I am sending something over in this example.
So you actually start with this?
I'm starting with the HTML. In fact, if I start with the...
I remember now. This is like the first assignment.
Yep. If I start with, what was I looking at? Array function. So if I start with...
You also use post, right? Just change it to post.
Yes. Array function, was it? Array func. Okay. If I run array func, what does it tell me? Okay, it's telling me that it is not got the information that it needs. Okay, so if I try to run that, whatever, there it is. If I try to run that, it is telling me I don't have the right thing. Now, if I go in and write array send, okay, this one is send. I keep saying this. I really need to. Yes. They make sense to me when I'm doing them. They make utter sense to me when I'm doing it. So I'm now running the HTML. And what is the HTML asking for? It's asking for me to put in a department number. Okay? So, I put in a department number, and here it is. We can look at it. There it is. And, okay, so it is put up a thing that said department number. It put up a box that asked for department number, and it put up a box that said submit. And I know that I am going to this array, okay? Now, yes, it would have been nice if I had told it the right numbers that it could enter, but I didn't.
I put 1, 2, 3, and it's all stopped.
Right. The array has to be in the right element. So, if I now put in a 2 and hit submit, it is telling me that 2 is the girls' department. And if I look at that. Okay, so there it is. It has set up an array that goes 0, 1, 2, and 3. I'm saying get the department number. The HTML is sending over the department number. I'm getting it and assigning it to department NO. And then I'm saying, okay, now echo out department number followed by department NO followed by equals followed by department name with department NO as the index. And since the index is 2, it's going in 0, 1, 2. Yes?
I put 2 and I got mins. So it didn't count the 0, 1,
9. Huh. Okay. Are you sure you're running the same one I'm running?
It's a possibility I'm not, but I'm trying to follow
you. Okay, make sure that the one you're running... Okay.
MWGB send HTML?
Nope. Oh, send might be. Let me take a picture of it. There's two of these, unfortunately. Send, no, you're writing send AR function?
Nope, I'm just send.
Okay, and just send, if we look at it, just send goes to MWGB rec, and MWGB rec has zero as none, and then one, and then two.
I get you.
And so men's would get you two on this one.
All right.
Okay, so in this one, it is simply setting up the array in a different way. Okay? No, glad you asked, because we've basically got, okay, in these, I've got the two different ways to set up the array. And one of them I included zero, and one of them I didn't.
Okay.
Okay, my job is to confuse you. How am I doing?
Great.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. It's always nice to know I succeed at my mission.
Keep up the good work.
Okay, so we have that one, and we have this one. Both of these are getting data, but they're set up differently. In both of them, I'm just sending over the department number. In this one, I do not have an invalid, so I'm expecting zero for women's. In this one, I made zero none, meaning there's no department. So in this top one, with the array all on one line, if I put in two, I get girls. If I put in two on the one that has it broken up, I get men's. So, I was going to compare those in a minute anyway, so now we've compared them. Okay? So, and again, if I wanted to make that top one that has array, parenthesis, women's, men's, if I put in the first element that said none, then it would work exactly the same. Okay, so if I had added a quote, none, quote, comma up in that one, it would have given me exactly the same output. And one of them I did an echo, and one of them I did a print, and I basically just, I don't know why I put parentheses in, they're not needed. I guess it just looks neater to me to enclose the whole thing in parentheses, but you don't have to in the echo. Okay. Questions? I would never do it this way, but it actually works. This is the one that has debugs tools in the name. Actually, I don't think I ever actually printed out anything. But anyway. If you don't know how things are working, printr prints human readable information. And VARDump prints information as well. And they claim it's not as human readable, but I think it's pretty human readable. But these just give you some information. So if you're not sure how the array is working, either the printr or the VARDump puts out information such that you can actually see what the array looks like.
Can that be put in Cree?
Yes. Yes, you can. Okay. So basically, this gives you the Cree has to be prior to the PHP, though. This gives you two tools that you can kind of work at. If the array just doesn't look like it's working, if you put one of these in, you can actually see the array. So these are debugging tools. They are tools to let you see what's going on. And notice it added the numbers for you. It said you really wanted to have 0, 1, 2, and 3 in there, and that's what it put in. And I think, other than problem, that's the end. Okay, so if I run problem, and then we will look at the two-dimensional ones next time. P-R-O-B. Okay? Notice I got an error here because my array went 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's legitimate. I can start it out without a zero in there. It really thinks it has a zero, but it's just not showing it. So notice when I said 5 appear, it crashed because there is no 5, there is no 5th, and so it couldn't find that and it couldn't run it. Okay, and then I went through a loop and it gave me the loop. But notice with the loop, I started out at count equals 1. Okay, I didn't use a 4 each, I used a 4. And I started out at count equals 1 because that's the first one that I had there. Okay. So if I'm going to change it, I've got to, in the for loop, say, actually, you're starting with count equal to 1, and we're going as long as it's less than or equal to 4. Okay. 10:45 on the dot. Okay. That means I'm done.